welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life. I just felt this word in my heart during this song. And the love of the Father right now is so strong. And every single face and heart in here is so loved by the Father. If we could just, if you don't mind, just putting your hand on your heart as we sing that chorus one more time, and just accept that God loves all of you. He loves who you are. He is love, and you are loved.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. So glad, again, all of you could be here with us this morning, and we just trust, like what the scripture says in Acts, about how times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. His mercies are new every morning, and like we like to say a lot at Door of Life, you're about to hear a message, a sermon, whatnot, but there's always two sermons going on, the one the preacher gives up here, and the one that the Holy Spirit's given you in your heart in here, and that's what we're just trusting, that you'll get it from both sermons, from both sides, as you see the Word, and as the Holy Spirit begins to show you how it relates to you, and just begins to show you some amazing things to come as well, too. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started in a passage of Scripture, and this is Luke chapter 10. It's kind of telling a little story about something that happened during Jesus' ministry. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" This is the New Living. "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Just a great little story and a lot of different angles and jumping off points. You can take this little story and directions and whatnot. But it is such a beautiful picture of somebody who's at the feet of Jesus, who's engaged, and she's found it. And Jesus recognizes that about her. And he is protective of her to be able to stay in that place. There's a picture I like that kind of depicts this a little bit, and just throw it up here. But it's just kind of this, a visual of kind of the story. And you see Mary's at the feet of Jesus listening to his words and fellowship. You got Martha in the background, and she's busy doing stuff, and she's, you know, trying to get Jesus to get Mary to help her and to join her. And Jesus is taking side with Mary here and saying, hey, you know what? She has found that one thing is needful. She's found it, and it won't be taken away from her. I mean, you think about Jesus and, you know, what he could do, his ability. You know, you could make a case for, wow, well, shouldn't Mary really be helping Martha and whatnot and all that stuff? You know, she's at the feet of somebody who could feed 5,000 people like this. You know, he can take care of business and do what he needs to do when he needs to do it. And Mary's just compelled to be there. And Jesus is saying, yep, she got it. She chose the right thing. And so in one sense, you see Mary, like the scripture says, she's distracted with much serving. But here, you know, kind of a paradoxical, take the other side of that coin, you see that Mary, as she's engaged with Jesus, Mary is distracted by Jesus from the much serving. That's kind of cool. And you know, when you really become to overcome things in your life, that's kind of how it works. You almost kind of, you can try to get free from something, and you finally learn the spiritual principle, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So you start going the direction of God and the things of God and spiritual stuff. I mean, new believers almost come across this accidentally better than a lot. You'll see somebody will just receive the Lord, and they're excited, and they're in the Word of God, and they're fellowshipping, and church has a whole different meaning now than it ever did before, and they're just so preoccupied with God and spiritual things that they realize after a few days, well, I haven't said that, I haven't done that, I haven't gone there, I haven't, and it's not because they were necessarily not trying to do that, they were just too preoccupied, too distracted with God in spiritual things, and walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's not that Mary is trying to not, you know, get distracted with servants. She's just so preoccupied with Jesus. And the title of my message this morning is this, all right? I'm calling it The God Distraction. The God Distraction. It seems like so much of our Christian life is trying to keep God first place, trying to focus on God, and fighting the 101 distractions that keep us from God. Well, let's turn it on its head this morning. Let's make God, instead of fighting 101 distractions from God, I'm going to have my God distraction. I'm going to pursue God, and He's going to distract me from all the other stuff, all the other junk, all the other cares of the world that choke the Word, and all this other stuff. I'm calling it this morning the God distraction. What I mean, we're going to be intentional about allowing ourselves to be distracted by God. I mean, I love that picture again, too. Mary's distracted from serving, but she's distracted by Jesus. She's looking at Him. This would be a good distraction, where she's distracted by her gaze on Jesus. And as she's distracted by God, she's distracted from stuff. And again, you'll find that too. You can just get into a meeting, you could get into a seminar, a teaching session, fellowship with believers, and again, you get in a zone, and you're spiritually minded, and it's like, oh, wow. This thing hasn't bothered me for days. Why? Yeah, you are too distracted to think about it. You got your mind on things above, and you're not thinking about it anymore. There's a God distraction, all right? So again, instead of fighting the 101 things we can be distracted by, we're going to make God our distraction. We're going to make Him our distraction, okay? Now, as we look at this, we're going to look at it from a few different angles. First of all, as we talk about the God distraction, we're going to talk about an intentional distraction. This is where I am on purpose going to say, like Mary, I'm sitting at His feet. I found something here, and I don't want to get up. I want to stay here. I want to linger. I want to keep hearing and receiving and stay plugged into what I've experienced. So this first, what we'll call God distraction, is an intentional distraction. Here's a great little reminder. David was talking about it in worship a little bit, about waking up. There's kind of a wake up. A psalm says this. It says, Psalm 119:25, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My earthly life cleaves to the dust. Revive and stimulate me according to your word. You know, it's a great thing that we're born again. We're new creations. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We've been made righteous in our spirit. That's all amazing. It's hard to even wrap our minds around what God has done to us, in us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a treasure in these earthen vessels. It's a lifelong process of seeing it. But we're still in mortal bodies. And when you wake up in the morning, you experience this verse, your soul clings to the dust. You experience things emotionally or mentally or things. I mean, there are days when I pop out of bed, but there's days where I'm just kind of, you're needing something to wake up, to get cold started, to get yourself going. And so what we're talking about as far as a God distraction is we're starting out by talking about what I'll just call an intentional distraction. And this is important to know because I think sometimes we judge ourselves wrong. We're not fair with ourselves. I remember hearing a prophecy one time, and it was in a church service, and the Lord bore witness to me, and the person said, "You're doing better than you think." And I just remember hearing that, "You're doing better than you think." And the Spirit just bearing witness to that to me. And this is really what it comes down to. you are a child of God. You are a new creation. You do have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But at the same time, you are running this new creation on the fuel of the Word of God and the Spirit of God and prayer and hungering and thirsting after God and getting filled with the Spirit. These are things that are running this new creation on the inside. And a lot of times, we will be critical of ourselves simply because, if you think of it from a car analogy, you're running out of gas. You're just low on gas. I was so strong. I had such a great week last week, and this week I'm really dragging. I've fallen, and I've done, nah, you need to get fueled up. There has to be some intentional fillings, some intentional refuelings. You could have the nicest car ever made, but you can only drive that car for so long, and it's going to run out of gas or battery energy or whatever it is. You can only, just because it runs out of gas doesn't mean it's a bad car. You wouldn't say, oh, this rotten, horrible car. No, you say you just need to get some gas. You're a really nice car. You're a new creation on the inside. If you could see what God sees, you're shining, you're beaming. And sometimes we judge the car wrongly simply because we've run out of gas. You're doing better than you think you are. Isn't it amazing? I've had it where I'm just like, oh, I'm dragging, I'm in the depths of despair, and then I just feel prompted, maybe have a little devotion time. It's like, man, and I get something, I get a little food in me, get a little nourishment in me. It's like, good. Yeah. You're just, these are things that you just got to be intentional about as far as God distractions. I mean, we took the trip to Tulsa, and we took my little white car this time. We typically take the big van, but one of the great things about my car is I get great gas mileage on it. We were like from west of St. Louis, and we got all the way to, you know, north of Milwaukee on one tank of gas. You know, doing that whole run, it's like, I've never gotten that far, you know? But at some time, even as great as my little car is, and I like that, you still have to intentionally pull aside and get gas. You still have to intentionally pull aside. You know, we have a great high priest high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the filling station of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's great to know who you are in Christ, but you can't just stay there and rev about who you are in Christ without going to the filling station and getting the mercy and the grace to help in time of need. There is an intentional part of this deal that we've got to just say, don't stop and judge yourself just because you feel, you know, fill in the blank. You're already feeling bad, then you got the enemy piling on top of you with his powers and principalities, and this is and you can't interpret, you're misinterpreting the truth here. You just need to come boldly, intentionally, before the throne of grace. And it's not always going to be dramatic. It's not always going to be, you know, spectacular. It's like eating your bowl of cereal in the morning. You know, you have that bowl of cereal, and maybe whether it's your Cheerios or your bacon and eggs or whatever your routine is, it's your routine. And you get done, you eat that, and then you go on to the next thing. But even though you're done with breakfast, breakfast isn't done with you. That breakfast is in you. It's working in you. It's strengthening you. It's helping you. It's energizing. That's kind of the way coming before the throne of grace is. You go there. You say your deal. You search your heart. It might not be dramatic. It might not be the best time or whatever, but you're doing what you know to do, just intentional. And when you get up from that place of prayer and you go on to your next thing, man, that grace isn't done with you either. It's in you. It's working in you. It's fueling you. It's putting stuff on the inside of you. There's just kind of an intentionality about that distraction. I love the Message puts it this way. We don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let us walk right up to him and get what he so is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Okay? What is this? This is a God distraction. It's a God distraction. I am on purpose not waiting. Somebody once put it like this. It said, if you try to fit, you know, special time with God into your day, it'll never work. You'll never have enough time. You plan your day around that time with God. And I'm going to say this, and I'm just going to say this, I'm going to say this because, and this is very humbling to say this, you know, but as a preacher, you're not exempt from things and whatnot. But it's easy to get out of patterns. You can get in good spiritual patterns, and it's easy to get bumped out of them. And I think, I got to get this issue and that. And I've had the Lord say, no, Ed, just return to a regular, consistent time with me, and everything else will start to take care of itself. You know, sometimes in our revelation of righteousness, we almost put a stigma on a regular, consistent devotion time as some kind of attempt. It can be done that way, not always. I'm trying to earn something. I'm not earning something. But it is powerful. One of the most powerful things you can do is having that regular time that you come together with God. It's a lot of times the reason why it's hard, and I this is kind of how I've experienced it too. We have those experiences. Maybe you go off to camp, or you go off to on a trip or something, and it's spiritual in nature. Maybe it's a camp meeting type thing, or you're in a youth group type thing, or you're in an event, and you get in that bubble. And it's like, oh, this is just so amazing. This is phenomenal. But you're forced to have some regular intentional. There's nowhere else to go. You got to do it. And so you might even fight it for the first few times. But then as you do it, you realize you can do it, and you get in touch with things. And it's like, wow, this is really amazing. Spiritual things really are real. Oh, cool. And then at the end of the event, I remember at camp, we'd say, oh, now we got to go back to the real world. Now I got to go back to the real world and dealing with all this stuff. I just want to stay at camp. I want to stay in that happy place. And really, the only thing that made it a happy place, really, ultimately, was a discipline to just stay in front of spiritual things regularly. And that can work in the real world, even when you're not at camp. There are people who've learned the secret of never coming back from camp. And there are people who experience it. It's this. And when you start it, it's like, oh, okay, I got to do this. Things happen, events, situations that can bunk you off from this. I get it. Like I said, minister, preacher, I get bunked off. And it's like, oh, what? Come on, Ed. I got to get back. And I get back on track. And it's like, it's just like, that's my little intimate time with God right there. You know? And these are things, this is not a whip or a shame on you or anything like that. This is just a real practical, intentional distraction. I'm making God my distraction from my whole day. He is number one. I'm coming to that place. And it's not, no shame if I don't. It's not. There's no condemnation. I'm not saved by my devotion time. But that devotion time is where Mary got what she got. She wasn't there because, oh, I'm getting saved. No, it was that fellowship. Consistent, sweet fellowship with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you. I encourage myself. Okay, Ed, I'm going to set that alarm to go off or whatever. And morning is a good time. You know, daily or regular something is good. Doesn't have to be huge or a big, long Sunday. Like what you guys being here this morning. You're here this morning because you were intentional about being here. And I trust that the Spirit of God has ministered and communicated things to you that you wouldn't have got had you not been here this morning. God would have loved you just as much as He does that you're here this morning. All right, being here this morning doesn't make God love you any more than He already does. But you got stuff this morning, just because you were intentional about being here. And again, that just doesn't, not because it's a Sunday morning in church, but that happens, that we can do. That's an adjustment that we can make that is really cool. I'm talking about the God distraction. I'm just making Him, instead of fighting all this, God, you are, I'm being distracted by you from the much serving and the much to-do list and all that other stuff. Just intentional. So those are kind of what you'd call in just kind of final scripture. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. What am I doing with that intentional? I'm just coming to lie down. I'm coming down to mercy, grace, to hell. Just hanging out. You know. And this is the cool thing. When you realize you don't have to come back from camp, this is where you'll realize it. And this is where it is really an amazing thing. And again, I know weird things can be done with this. I know spiritual pride and all that, and I have my devotion time and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm not talking about that. I mean, Mary here is not all excited about logging time with God and points and credit and all that. No, it's, you can see it. It's the gaze. It's her and Jesus. And that's what this is all about too. It's like, I need my Jesus time. I need that gaze time. I need to do that. You know, whether I get my answer there or not, I know I'm getting something. And when I get up from that breakfast table that breakfast is still working in me spiritually. So we're talking about, again, God distraction. There's an intentional distraction. The other distraction we want to look at in connection with this is what we're calling the spontaneous distraction, okay? There's an aspect of distraction that we need to be intentional about, okay? But there is going to be other times in our life where there is going to be a distraction, but it's going to come from God. You know, you're going and saying, okay, Lord, here I am pouring out my heart, but then there's other things. You're going along in your day, and God's going to be doing this. Here's a great little, I love this example from, it's actually Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, now I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. This is the burning bush experience. Here's the backstory to the burning bush experience, though. Moses saw something that was peculiar, and he was tending the flock of Jethro. He was in his work day. He had his stuff. He was in his routine, and he saw something that just was like, wow, I wonder what that is. You know, there are things that we're going to experience that, and he could, you know, what could he have done? He could have just kept going. He could have just kept walking. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. Just kept on going down the road. I got to get these sheep. You know, I got stuff to do. But he didn't. He saw something, a bush that didn't burn. He was curious. There was something, a spontaneous, that distracted him, that was spontaneous. He wasn't planning on it. And he had a choice to make, deliver the sheep or check this thing out. And I love what it says in verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called. God did not call him until he saw that he turned aside to look. And I will look and see. In other words, Moses made a decision in his heart. I am not doing sheep stuff right now. I'm going to go and look at this. I'm pursuing this. When God saw that he made that turn, then God spoke to him. Not when he noticed it, but when he decided to turn and look. There are going to be some spontaneous interruptions in your day. I've done this right, I've done this wrong. Where I've stopped and I've gotten something in my heart. It's like a word. And you stop and turn to look. And you stop. And what do I mean by stopping and turning to look in a practical 2018 sense? I mean, and of course, context, you know, if there's situations that you can stop and turn to look in other ways, on other contexts, you maybe can't. But I'm just saying a lot of times God will give you these in a context you can stop and turn and look. And when you sense God is beginning to do things, that's when you can stop and turn to look with, you know, nowadays our phones will have these little recorders on them, you know, or you have a journal that you can write in. But when you start to get something, stop and turn to look. Turn on that little recorder and just begin to speak what it is you got. Me speaking in my phone, that little, yes, you speaking into your phone. God gives you good things. He gives you really good things. And there is nobody who understands and gets the things that you get from God like you. Because he speaks your language. He speaks the way you think. And you'll be amazed when you speak these things and write these things down, and you'll go back and say, wow, yeah, that was good. Oh, yeah, wow, okay, cool. Because a lot of times they're answering questions you've prayed about previously. He's answering your prayers. And I've had it where I've had that cool thought. So, wow, that's really interesting. And I thought, yeah, I'll have to come back. I'll have to remember that. I'll have to get back to that. I'll have to write that down. So I'll have to, you know, think. I mean, not even 5, 10 minutes later, I'm going, what was that? I didn't stop to turn to look. I noticed there was something there, but there are spontaneous interruptions throughout your day where you're going to sense something, some promptings. Let's see here. This is Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And Jesus said that same Spirit would come and lead and guide you into all truth. And so there's going to be some times when you're going to get some things, some promptings by the Spirit of God that you're going to want to check out, write down. That is a big, big part of our walk with God. And let me tell you this too. When you begin to do that and you begin to get to turn and look and check something out and you write that stuff down, you will be blessed by those things years from now. You'll look back and go, wow, praise God. I can hear from God. I have heard from God. God speaks to me. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they won't follow. Okay? We're not talking about, you know, here, we're not talking about God speaking to me in the, like it's Bible or scripture or anything like that. It's not that. It's God by his Spirit speaking direction, speaking words, bearing witness to truth, showing me things. But as you begin to write down those things that God has put in your heart, there is a spontaneous distraction where that's going to happen. Now, let me kind of show you another kind of a spontaneous. Gifts of the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There's diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So there's an edification of the body that happens. But in sandwiched in between verses 7 through 10, it itemizes those different gifts of the Spirit. But the context of where we're going this morning, I want you to understand this about gifts of the Spirit. It's the same Spirit. It's for your profit. And it also says, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. There will be gifts of the Spirit that will happen. God can give you a prophetic word, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. That's kind of what you'll in Door of Life will flow in those different things. It could be a word of wisdom regarding things in the future, a word of knowledge regarding things of present past. But here's the cool thing about spiritual gifts or gifts of healings, all these different kinds of gifts. But the cool things about the gifts of the Spirit is they're distributed as he wills. There will be some spontaneous things where God wants to speak to you supernaturally. And the cool thing about it is it's not even the gift. All right. If I get a prophecy or a word of prophecy, I'm not excited about it for prophecy's sake. Really not. Prophecies are going to cease. Tongues are going to cease. What I'm excited about in terms of a prophecy is what's being said. What it's saying. What is it saying? It's saying, it's instructing. The Bible says that prophetic words, spiritual gifts, they're for edification, exhortation, comfort. God's going to move supernaturally in things. And I want to bring this up here, and I want to bring it up in our church too, especially, because we believe in the charismatic side. But sometimes we get churches on the charismatic side. They're excited about the charismatic for the sake of the charismatic. I'm excited about a prophecy for... I'm not excited about prophecy for prophecy's sake. I'm excited about what the prophecy is saying to me. And receiving what God is saying to me. Spiritual gifts are just delivery systems for what God wants to do and minister to you. I mean, if there's a FedEx truck or a UPS truck or postal service comes by, and yeah, I'm excited about the truck in a sense, but it's the package that's in the truck that I'm excited, really excited about. I want what's in the package, what's the content? That's what really excites me, because God's giving me something. These gifts are for your edification, not for spiritual bragging rights. God wants to do something in your life. That's why you're coveting them, because he's going to minister something, even healing. I'm not excited about healing for the sake of healing. I'm excited for the gift of healing because real pain goes away. And functionality is restored, and years are added to people's lives, and they can enjoy and fulfill their... That's what's exciting about healing. It's what it delivers. We got 14 healings and 3 powers of the Holy Spirit and 15 tongues and interpretation of tongues. Who cares? Stinks. Bible says it's all without love. All that prophecy and all that knowledge, blah, blah, blah. Great. You win the spirituality contest. Fine. I want what's in the package. I don't eat popcorn for popcorn. I eat popcorn for the salt and the butter I put on the popcorn. Or the caramel I put on the popcorn. It's a delivery system for what I want. All right? That's what spiritual gifts are. It's important to have a proper perspective on them. You can get into weird ditches. You know, that's what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. He says, hey, don't despise prophecies. Don't quench the Spirit. Why did he have to tell them to not despise prophecy? Because people can misuse things. And, oh, no, brother so-and-so is getting up and prophesying. Oh, boy, here we go again. And so you get a jaded attitude towards spiritual gifts and quench the Spirit. So you shut it down or, you know, but you're proving all things. And you're saying, yeah, there's going to be some spontaneous things that are going to happen. And I'm just going to prove them. I'm excited about spiritual gifts for what they deliver. I'm not just living from prophecy to prophecy to prophecy to prophecy. No, I want to do what the last prophecy said for me to do and make sure I'm walking in it. I get no sense of spiritual identity or superiority because I heard I have a prophecy. It's a responsibility. Okay, Lord, what did you say? What did you last say? And walk it out. There's blessing in that. There's a package there. There's something for you in it. And that's why he wants us to have these things. They deliver. And I mean, I can't tell you, I've had times in my life where God has used a spiritual gift to confirm things in a dark place. You know that I'm right on track. Keep on keeping on. Praise God. I love that one song we were singing earlier. Whitney kind of let it out, but it was just this confidence and faithfulness. You're going to see me through. It's like, it's a song that's coming from a place. And some, when you get those songs that come from a place, a lot of times God will, there will be spiritual gifts that God will speak to you in that place. They'll confirm some. It's like, wow, thanks, I needed that. But get a right perspective. The Bible says, covet, earnestly covet spiritual gifts. These are good. Yes, Lord. I want that spontaneous. I want the intentional, but I also want the spontaneous. I want those spontaneous distractions where I've got my sheep, I'm tending my sheep for the day, and something peculiar comes at me. Am I going to turn aside and look and see what that is? And when you turn aside and look, because a lot of times that's even the way when God will give you something. He'll give you maybe a couple words, but you turn aside and look. And as you begin to write or speak from your heart, you get more. It's pretty cool. That's a sweet way that we fellowship with God. That picture of Mary and Jesus, that's part of that picture, is that spontaneous interaction that you get by the Spirit of God. And you can turn aside, look, and pursue some things, and you'll find that, again, you get in that zone, and when you get one of those things from God, it is exciting. It's exciting. It'll help distract you from the junk because you're engaged in what God is showing you, what he's revealing to you. So, then finally, I'm just calling this the worship distraction. This could be called a few different things. I couldn't quite settle on what to call this. You could call this the romantic distraction. You could call this the intimate distraction. You could call it the worship distraction. This is not a distraction that is, it's not a distraction that you're being distracted to get fueled up or even to get direction or to get anything. This is just a really, wow, God, I love you distraction. This is like a falling in love with Jesus distraction. This is where you're just kind of, you're getting in the zone and you just, I like what the Apostle Paul's heart is here. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amplified, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. I love that. This is the Apostle Paul. This is Philippians. This is like 62 AD. He's about 4 years from getting martyred. This is toward the end of his ministry. And his heart is saying, oh, I just want to know him. I mean, at this point, he's already written Thessalonians and Corinthians and Galatians, and he's written a lot of the books of the Bible already, probably Galatians and Ephesians. So here we're seeing that as you're going after God, it just does that to you. You just want to know him more. You want to know him more. And it's good to be in a church where you are challenged to know him more, where there is an upward call to go higher. Our church services are not supposed to be like, you know, I mean, sometimes it can almost be like a theological, political convention rally. This is what we believe and why we believe and why we're right and they're wrong and da-da-da-da-da and you just go leaving. Yeah. No, that's not what church is for. We're preaching the word, and there's an upward call for everybody, including myself. And I'm going, wow, Ed, yeah. Let's bring it up some notches here. There should be an upward call in that. And why is it that I might know him? What is the upwardness? You know him, but you want to know him more. You want to see him more. You want to, boy, there was an old song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to know you. I want to know you, to see you high and lifted up. We all got that. We know we're going to see him face to face one day, whom having not seen, we rejoice with joy and speak full of glory. But we've gotten glimpses and we want more and to see him. It pulls us up higher. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, put it this way. He said, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when I look at this and you think about how does this happen as you're beholding him, it happens on a Sunday morning when you're worshiping God. Absolutely. You can just be worshiping. And like you said, that second sermon, whatever the Holy Spirit's doing on the inside of you while you're lying down on the green pastures, looking up at him, it's precious. It's sacred. It's between you and him. None of our business in one sense. Even though we're here corporately, there's things that are going on that are none of our business. And he's revealing himself to you. And you're beholding him, and there's a transformation. It's like, oh, something just got a little bit more real to me. Something of God's grace just got a little bit, something of God's love just got a little bit more real to me. That parameter, that dimension of the breath just got pushed out a little bit further. And how he does that, it's an amazing thing. But this is where there's just intimacy distractions. I mean, it's not spontaneous, like he's telling you to do something, or it's not part of your regimen. It's just extra. It's just, I need you. I want more. God, I love you. There's just a hunger and a thirsting after him. Lord, I just want you. I want to know you. I want to fill up in you. I want to know you. I want to know who you are, the way you are. And there is a change that happens, you know, as we pursue that. And then there's part of this, though, and we close with two more scriptures. And this is, again, this is a key part of intimate, romantic, deep worship of God that we don't always think about in connection with a God distraction. Because, well, I'll just go ahead and give you one of the two scriptures. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's the amplified verse 1. I appeal to you, brethren, beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive decision of decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Okay, so what are we talking about? And this is kind of an amazing thing if you just think about and try to visualize this, the Apostle Paul beseeching. Now, you don't see a heart of legalism here. You don't see a heart of a crack in the whip and holiness to where it's distracting from grace through faith. He's saying, man, this presenting of your bodies is going to do something for you. That's going to be awesome. Now, in that verse here, he says, it's your reasonable spiritual worship. I'm going to throw out a word here. But this word is a big part of really experiencing Jesus in an intimate way. And that word is obedience. Obedience. And when I'm talking about obedience, and again, don't go off into legalism tangents. We're saved by grace through faith. We know that. But there is obedience to what God is telling you to do. And when God shows you something to do by his Spirit, and you do what he shows you to do, it doesn't just bless you. That blesses God. When you obey him, it blesses God. Because when you're doing things, going back to that scripture I made reference before, Galatians 5, 16. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, since you can't do the things that you would. When you're in that inflection point of, oh, everything in my being is screaming to do A, but God says B. And you're going, oh. And you're in that point, you're just saying, God, help me mercy, grace, help me. Lord, I want to do B. There is something that is holy and sacred. I mean, you're feeling yuck. You're feeling as least spiritual you ever felt. But in that moment of choosing B, there is a sacred, blessed, intimate, romantic, special thing that God is blessed by. Jesus put it this way. He said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now let's kind of stop right there. We know that God loves the whole world, all right? And we know we're saved by grace through faith. That's God's love for us. He's not talking about God's love for us here. He's talking about our loving God, okay? So he's saying, "He who has my commands and keeps them, I'm going to do what you say to do, Lord. I'm going to obey what you've told me to do." He said, "He it is who loves me will be loved by my Father and will manifest myself to him." Now, he'll be loved by me and my Father and manifest myself to him. There's a connection between this kind of love. Look at this in the Amplified. "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Wow. Because I worshiped 4 hours? No. Because I just did what he told me to do. Obedience. Just the simple. But everybody's doing this, but I know, God, you're saying this. And I'm going to stay with what you show me. There's an intimate distraction, romantic distraction, when you're choosing B in the face of wanting to go A. And everybody else is doing A. The pattern of the world is doing this. Yeah, everybody's doing it. But you're staying with B because you want to know him. You want to know him. And he'll reveal himself. "I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him." Have you had that happen? I mean, look, I've gotten in the zone, in and out of this zone before. How about yourself? You get in the zone, it's like, wow, spiritual things are real. Ah, you compromise things and spiritual things just aren't real, but yet they're real. Whether they feel real or not, they are real. But sometimes that thing is just obedience. I'm going to read 4 more passages of scriptures and worship. God's saying to do this. Do this. In fact, you could save yourself a bunch of devotion times if you'll just do this. It's going to take faith. It's going to be vulnerable. But yet it keeps coming back to you, and you know that thing's God. There's just something about doing. You could spend 20 years not doing that thing and cloak it with a bunch of other good stuff, but part of this God distraction is obedience and just obeying what he's told you to do. And there will be some breakthroughs. It's like, oh, praise God, I've done it. We kind of joke sometimes when we finally do what we know or could have done. We say, all the wasted years. You know, kind of that thing. And it's not really, you know, always years or whatnot, but it's one of those things where it's like, God, you're right. I'm going to trust you to do that thing. What happens when Jesus said, "When you keep my commandments, I will let myself be clearly seen by him"? Because when you choose B and everything is going against you and you stay with B, you stay with B and all the noise, and you stay with B and the noise clears, the dust settles, and B is right, you come through a place, it's a little bit harder to fool you, a little bit harder to trick you, because you know God's word is true again and again, and you know he's real, and spiritual things are real. Wow, the word was really right. Praise God. So, the God distraction, there are intentional distractions. That's where I'm pointing all fingers in my direction. You know, this is one of the things that I know when I get back on my pattern of just regular, good devotion times, there's just an accountability that keeps my identity accountable, who I am. His love is accountable. All those good things that I know theologically, a simple little regular devotion time keeps those things accountable in my heart, whether it's a big breakthrough thing or not. And when I'm done with that, whatever that devotion time is, it's working in me. Like my breakfast is still working in me when I get up from that place. Also, there's a spontaneous distraction. There are going to be supernatural things where the Holy Spirit, you're tending your sheep for the day, but the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, look over there. And if you turn and look, you're going to get more. I'm glad Moses turned and looked. He speaks to you in ways that you get him, that you know him, that you hear him. And then finally, there's the worship distraction. That's where you're just going after him. God, you, I want you. I want to know you. Why am I choosing B this time? Because either Christianity is real or it isn't real. I want to know. I'm done playing games. I'm going B. Let's see what happens. Let's do it. Let's just go all out for God. Let's just put it on the line for God. The Lord told me this once. He said, Ed, don't waste a perfectly good midlife crisis on a car. As long as you're throwing caution to the wind anyway, do it God's way. Do what God says. Don't go around the merry-go-round again. I'll tell you, there is one way to do it. It's God's way. And there's worship in that. There is a spiritual, when you choose B, it's a fragrance that's going up to God. God is being honored and blessed. And in what's going to come down, he's going to reveal himself, make himself clearly seen by you. Make spiritual things and those things real to your heart. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that in the face of all the distractions that we got to go through down here, the flesh, the world, and the devil, all their different options and varieties and different things like that, that there is a distraction, that we can turn the tables on those distractions, and instead of fighting all those battles, we can make you. You are our distraction from the flesh, the world, and the devil. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me. There are so many distractions that I will face today, but I can choose what Mary chose. One thing is needful. I look to you. You are my distraction from this world. You are my distraction from the pattern of this world. I will be intentional. Help me to be regular in spending time with you, to make it what you want it to be, just day by day, walking with you. And when you show me something, I will turn aside and I will look and check it out and receive everything you have. I want to know you, Lord. I want to go further. I want you to be clearly seen. Help me to obey, to do what you've told me to do, to trust you with that and be free. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name. I believe you died on that cross for all my sin. And where my sin abounded, your grace is much more abounded. I receive that forgiveness now. I receive your cleansing now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family.